For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, 2 minutes after the hour, final hour of Power right here on a Tuesday afternoon. Craig Hoppen an hour away. Game one, Eastern Conference quarterfinals in the books. Caps win in overtime 3-2. Ovechkin finally gets it done in overtime. And the NFL draft now 2 nights away. That's right. A little more than 48 hours away. Let's get out to Command Land in Ashburn. Adam Peters, general manager, Lance Newmark, assistant GM, meeting the media.
So cool because it's the whole organization. It's not just myself, not just Lance. It's the everybody, right? But it starts with the scouts and the college scouts, and they're working tirelessly from really, you know, starting now and until next year's draft on all the guys that we're going to be picking for next year. So I'd like to single those folks out and then a few others, and then we can get rolling. But first, the gentleman to my right here, Lance Newmark. Thank you. Our assistant GM, Scott Fitter, has done a great job. He came over from Carolina and has been an outstanding resource to our staff, and really cool to have him here. Doug Williams, you all know him. He's fantastic, and the same thing, like just a great sounding board for myself, for all our staff, a great person to look up to, and he's also really understands our players that are in this building and then in the draft as well. David Blackburn, who we just hired as our director of player personnel this last year, has done an excellent job. Tim Gribble, our director of college scouting, he's going to be like the most fun guy at the draft party after the draft because he put in so much work, watched tirelessly. There's so many guys and so many prospects and aggregate so much information. So really thankful for what he's done this year. Jeff Beathard, our national scout. We got Tyler Clater, our Blesto scout, and Chuck Cookie. If you guys don't know this, he was awarded the CO Bracato Lifetime Achievement Award for scouting, and it was a big deal. He was given an award at the combine. If you see him, please congratulate him. And he's also just found out it's his 40th draft, so it's pretty darn cool. DeJuan Jones, another national scout. Pete Piccarelli, Dustin Reagan, Ron Rose, and Paul Skansky, and then Roger Terry is our college scouting staff. So awesome. It's an awesome group of guys, really fun to be around. It's great when they're in the building. They came in here for 2 weeks and then left for Easter. Now they're back here for this week. So they've been away from their families a lot, and then especially this month, but they're working really hard. And so just wanted to single them out. And then just everybody else, the R&D department, Sinu and our football solutions team, the developers, creating a really cool scouting database for us. Then you get the coaches involved, and the coaches are incredible. They work really hard in the draft. Video, IT, the doctors, football ops, equipment, the kitchen. Connor, you guys know those guys. They cook for all of us. Dylan and his team, team security, and then last but not least, our guy over here, Sean. So, but I'm honestly like, it's everybody. Then that's what's so cool about the draft. So I just wanted to thank everybody. And then last but not last is our friends in D.C., the Caps. Congratulations on the win last night. Congratulations to our friend Spencer, and best of luck to them and Ovi. That was incredible last night. I've become a huge Caps fan since I've been here, so best of luck to them. Now, anything?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, and and go Caps.
Go Caps. All right, let's go.
All right, John Keim, ESPN. Looking, before we turn to this year, looking back at last year's class, because as Dan said, you know, guys take that year one to year two jump, and with only five picks, a lot of the improvement is going to come from that group. So I'm curious if you could talk about it, both you guys could talk about a couple guys in particular, about the expectations for this year. Jerzan, Ben Sinnott, and then Jordan McGee.
Yeah, those guys, it's cool that you asked about those three, because all three of them have been here working in this building for quite some time. You know, even we just started today with the off-season program, but they've been working their tails off really for the last couple of months. I see them in here almost every day. So really excited about each of their future. You know, they're the right types of guys. They're the guys we want. They're commanders. Yeah. And so I think you'll see a big jump in each and every one of those guys play this year.
Yeah, I would echo that. They're three guys that are extremely dedicated to getting better. Like you said, they're commanders. They've worked really hard this offseason to improve, you know, physically, mentally, every part of the game. They want to be contributors next year, and they're doing everything they can to do that. So they're definitely wired the right way, and they've worked really hard to be in position to do that.
And I'm also curious, for Adam, like, what has been your experience going when you're trying to vet a guy that has a quote-unquote character concerns? Like, what's the process you go through to come to a conclusion that, like, okay, he's good or they're not so good? You know, what kind of research do you put into that, and, you know, how do you get comfortable with the decision?
Yeah, that's a great question, excuse me. And it really starts with the scouts, and that's where, like, all the hours that they put in and all the information, all the people they talk to with the schools and the players' hometown and everywhere else, they dig up anything they can to find out what makes each of these guys tick. And so you say a character concern, and you know, we drafted a guy in San Francisco who had character concerns, and he turned out to be one of the best players at his position, one of the best teammates I've ever seen, one of the best locker room guys, and just an outstanding human being. So you got to be careful where you get that information and who's giving you that information, and know your sources and all of that. But each character concern is really case by case, and you really figure out what the incident, if it's an incident, what it was, why that happened, find out all the information from them, from everybody you can, in order to make the best decision for your team. So, and there's, you know, there's a wide spectrum of character concerns, from you have off the field things, you have football character, there's not really character, but then like mental and learning that you look into. So all those different things play into it, but everything's case by case, and try to get as much information as you can.
With only five picks going into this, are you hoping to trade back?
Well, we talked about this at the owners' meetings a little bit, and you're really open to everything, and you're open to moving up if the right moves up. If Abdul Carter falls to 27, I might want to try to move up too and get him. but I mean, if there's a great player that we want to sit and pick, we'll do that. But if there's an opportunity to move back, then we're certainly open to that too. You know, with five picks, like you said, that's something you'd like to do, is add picks. But you always have to have somebody who wants to come up too, and we'll find that out. We're making those calls this week, and we'll have an idea of who wants to come up, and if we want to do that, and we'll also have an idea of who wants to move back in the first round ahead of us, and so we'll know what we can do there.
I believe last year you indicated that if a player you're taking in the first round, you'd like them to start and have an immediate impact. Along those lines, are there positions that you typically don't like to draft in the first round? I mean, do you usually like to stick to premium positions in the first round, or is it situational?
I think you could really go anywhere in the first round. Last year we went quarterback. I don't think we'll do that this year, but I think what we've done is we've made ourselves given ourselves optionality to pick anywhere. So I don't think we have a philosophy of going premium positions, or quote unquote premium positions in any round. It's really just trying to pick the best commander for us that's going to help us the most.
David Aldridge with The Athletic. I'm wondering, I know every year is different. Every team's built organically. You can't depend on what happened 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but the fact that you all did have so much success bringing in guys on short contracts, bringing in veterans on short contracts, does that inform you at all in terms of perhaps we have the right group of people here that can utilize veterans on short deals to continue to build the team and allow us to not have to necessarily have 9 picks every year in a draft to build the team quicker?
Yeah, I think, I think getting, you know, it's all about, a lot of that's about opportunity. And if you can get guys on longer contracts, obviously you'd like to have as many picks as you can. But the way we're structured currently, we'll have to do that for a little bit and do these 1 year deals. But I feel really good about our staff, our scouting staff and our coaching staff, identifying the right guys to get on those 1 year deals. And a lot of those guys we brought back this year, which really proud of and really, really glad that we brought those guys back. So, I really have a great trust in those staffs to be able to identify those guys. And, you know, it's not something you want to live and keep doing over and over and over again, but until we get a really good foundation of draft picks throughout over the years, we're going to probably keep doing that. And as long as we bring in the right guys, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years in a row, we've gone to the combine with our roster in the high 40s, and we've been at the draft in the 70s. So, you know, we've really been productive in those 60 days, 2 years in a row. And I think every time we've brought somebody in, we've had a plan for them. Mm-hmm. It's been sincere, like, hey, we think this guy's a chance to do something here. Mm-hmm. And as going back to your original point, I do feel that we have a great foundation here in terms of getting people into this building and maximizing what they have to offer in terms of potential and helping them reach their personal best. I do think it's really good environment for people to develop.
Yeah. Ben Standing with The Athletic for both of you guys. Last year you guys drafted, of your 9 players, 7 were team captains in college. Obviously you clearly like the what comes with that, the leadership and so on. But now that you have a year into this and the culture set and things along those lines, to some degree you're always building. Is that as strict of a situation? Is it like, hey, we've got to get guys who are captains, or is that a little bit less so this year because you already have a bit of a baseline when it comes to culture?
I think you're still always looking for those types of guys, no matter what. Now, the draft isn't always going to fall that way, but I don't think we're ever going to waver from the types of people we want to bring in this building. And whether they were captains in college or not, I mean, whether they are leaders or not, quote unquote leaders, people lead different ways. But we're just going to try to bring in good people. And so if they were captains in college, that's great. That shows you something. But if they weren't captains, that doesn't mean they're not leaders and they can't become those and can't become the types of guys we want in our building.
And in terms of the edge class, obviously you guys have done in free agency, you've got a rotation pretty much everywhere. You could say we can play tomorrow, so I get that. But in terms of the edge class, is there anything in particular you might be
You took my answer.
Yeah. Any in particular you might be looking for? Obviously you guys were a little bit deficient last year against the run. You also lost Dante Fowler, get more sacks. Is there anything you kind of looking at with that group in particular that you think you guys need more of this year?
Yeah, it's a deep class, which is cool. There's something, I think, for everybody, whether you're a 4-3-3-4 team or multiple. There's guys that are great against the pass. There are guys that are really good against the run. So whether you're taking that high in the draft or somewhere deeper, there's going to be some good players there. So that, along with a lot of other positions, we'll be open to taking. And I think what's cool is even though we have some really good players in each of those rooms, whether it's edge or O-line or corner, which I'm sure you guys are going to ask about that too, but we have really good players, but we really – DQ preaches competition. So those guys are going to come in and compete, and the best guys are going to play. And the more good player – you can't have too many good players in a room, I guess.
Chad Ricardo, Fox 5. Around this point in time of the year, we hear the phrase best available thrown around quite often. For the Washington Commanders, how do you all define best available?
Yeah, I think it's probably just the best fit for our team, you know, in terms of how they fit in our locker room, how they fit in our scheme and what we're looking for. So that could be any position, right? So, you know, kind of, I don't want to keep saying this because Ben made fun of me for saying this, but you know, we're in a position where we can take the best available and we can stay true to our board. And so we feel really good about that. And so we don't have to reach for a position that we feel we need that we may be talking ourselves into.
This has obviously been a months long process, in some cases a years long process. What would the next 48 hours look like for you all?
That's a great question. It's probably different for every team, and sometimes it's different every year. I think the next 48 hours, we're just really refining our board and just making sure we're challenging ourselves on different scenarios, different things that may come up. You know, really, you know, you got two players right next to each other. Who would you take and why? And talking to the coaches and how would this player fit? You know, does he fit your vision? And so just the board's pretty much set. It's just like a little bit of tinkering here and there. And then you make some phone calls too. You make some phone calls like, okay, you want to come up? Do you want to come down? And just get an idea of what's going to be available for you. So you're not making all those decisions in real time in those 10 minutes that you have. So it's a fun couple of days. It's cool to have all the scouts here and really exciting.
Alan Sandage with 106.1 ESPN Richmond. Mr. Peters, I know you guys emphasize doing your due diligence on your scouting, even through free agency, talking to players and getting their input on some guys. Has there been any input given from players on maybe some draft picks?
There's always some input on draft picks and just kind of like your evaluators, you always kind of trust some guys more than the others. But they're not all created equal in terms of evaluators. But it's actually, we'll listen, you know, you get information anywhere. And so always lean into those guys and their relationships. And hey, will this guy fit in our bloodstream? You know, is this our type of guy? But we don't really get into the skills and technical evaluations like that, but certainly all ears to any information. Yeah.
Chick Hernandez, WSA9, you guys have done this for a while. How different has this process changed with modern technology and all that goes into it? How different is the draft from, say, even, you know, 5-6 years ago?
I thought you were going to go further back.
Well, I was trying to be kind, but I see the grayness, so let's go 10, 15 years.
We probably both go back to carbon paper and certainly beta tapes. Yeah. So a lot's changed, and it's changing every year. You know, even last year, this year, we got a new draft room, which is really cool. A lot of cool bells and whistles in that. So there's always new information out there. It's always evolving, and you're always trying to stay ahead of that and really be on the cutting edge to find any edge to help your team. You know, kind of like just like you're trying every edge in a game, every edge you can, every little bit of information you can to make the best decisions in scouting and for the draft.
And when you make the pick for a guy in your position, you're going to talk to that commander. What is that moment like when you can hear the hysteria on the other end of the line?
Yeah, the first one was really nerve-wracking, and didn't know what I like wrote down, what I was going to say, and making sure I said it right and all that. It was a big pick, and but then after that, it was really fun. It's actually really cool to hear the joy in the players' voices. It's really cool to hear the joy in the background of their family. It gets you emotional. You know, they're emotional. It kind of gets you emotional and makes you really happy. You realize what a big moment it is for them, and they've worked their whole lives to get there, and they have their loved ones around them to celebrate with them. So it ended up being like the coolest part is making those phone calls for sure.
All right, we're going to jump in here. That has been Adam Peters and Assistant General Manager Lance Newmark in Ashburn, courtesy of the Commanders. I'm not trying to be rude here. We didn't really learn much of anything there. I mean, we know they have a new draft room with lots of bells and whistles.
He's still real charming with the press.
Yes. And Adam's a really good guy. I mean, really good dude. Smart football man, obviously. That's most important. But he's not the most overly talkative person, but he is very friendly, very approachable, very human. Everything that Bruce Allen was not, because he was a mishmash robot and a politician was the nice way to refer to Bruce. Adam Peters is not going to tell you much, but he'll do it with a smile, and he'll do it nice.
I mean, no smart
and genuine.
GM is, no smart GM's tipping their hand today, you know?
Right. I don't know if we learned anything. I mean, the board is set, which, of course, it's set. Now they're just doing a little bit of tinkering. Maybe they'll move a name slightly higher if they get some new information, or slightly lower. But you heard him basically list about 20 or 25 names at the top of that. And those guys have been doing, like, that is, not in all cases, but that is their job 75, 80 hours a week, is to break down all the film, to be at practices, to talk to coaches, to talk to players, to talk to assistants, to talk to SIDs, to talk to anyone and everyone that might give them a morsel of information or some sort of something about the character of said person. And the one thing that I continuously think that has changed more and more and more as we go along each and every year is there's probably more work done in that area, in the background, character, personality, work ethic, realm, than certainly there was, let's just say, 15 years ago. And probably even shorter than that, but certainly like...
So much, I think, was overlooked before in the past. Like, if you were just good at football, they didn't really care.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I mean, they didn't have A, the resources, B, the manpower. And again, you can get people that say, no, he's a good guy, he's a hard worker. But then if you get eight other people that say, he's not a hard worker, he doesn't love it, you're A, going to trust the greater amount of people that say something similar. B, you're probably going to be skeptical of whoever told you he was a great guy and a hard worker when eight others told you he was a hot dog and kind of not in love with football or doesn't have a burning desire or whatever they tell you. There's no guarantees. Obviously, we find out all the time that no matter how much work is done, you don't know this one thing. You don't know this one thing. How money is truly going to change, life-changing money. A lot of these guys are now getting paid and have been getting paid for the last couple of years. Jaden Daniels was getting paid, obviously, at LSU. It didn't appear to change him really in any sort of way. But not everybody is the same, right? If you're...
If
you're getting
a hover mom, you know,
yes,
a helicopter
mom.
So that might be part of it.
Very much, very much. But I guess what I'm saying is, if you are getting, $20,000 per semester NIL deal from a car dealership, just for argument's sake, in Iowa, and then all of a sudden you sign a four-year rookie contract for $3 million, there's a big difference, right? That could change people. So that's the one thing that you hope to be able to gather enough of, but that you really can't test all the time. Other than that, scouts with boots on the ground and eyes in the right place and the ears of multiple people can probably get a really good feel about one's work ethic, one's football IQ, one's passion. But what you can't, again, then say is, all right, if a guy is kind of, he doesn't have that burning desire, but he's fine, he's good. But then he gets paid. Does he have the same motivation? Does he have the same chip on his shoulder? Does he have the same will and desire to keep climbing that mountain, that ladder? You know, that's why there's still mistakes made. Not to mention, when a dude gets money and can start going out to dinner and whatever else they do, do they hook up with bad people? Do they put themselves in bad situations that maybe they didn't put themselves in while they were dealing with academics, while they were dealing with more policing, if you will, or more supervision, while maybe they were underage and didn't quite have the ability to go out and drink legally? All of that stuff, while they were in the cocoon of a college campus. Not that you can't get in trouble there. Of course you can. But it's a little bit different when you can go out of the facility, make a right, and less than a mile later, you're at One Loudoun, and there's 40 places to get your swerve on.
And none of them want you to pay.
And
all the girls want to talk to you.
Yes, all of that. Oh, what it must be like to be a football player. 26 minutes after the hour, thanks to, again, Lance Newmark and Adam Peters. Any reaction to that? I don't think we really learned anything. I started thinking about doing a drinking game two shots in when they said, you know, we want them to be a Commander. And then they stopped saying that. They must have been reading my tweets. They all of a sudden stopped saying that, which kind of blew up my bit. Kind of disappointing because I wanted to get drunk. No, I'm only teasing. I got a long drive ahead on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, so the Capitals with a game one overtime win. Alex Ovechkin, his first Stanley Cup overtime playoff career winning goal. 3-2 over the Montreal Canadiens. Game two, now the bad news. We found out earlier today the team announcing Martin Ferravari had surgery on his right knee for a meniscus tear, and he is out for the rest of the playoffs. Out for the rest of the playoffs is Martin Ferravari. Alex Alexiev taking a stick to the mush last night. No penalty was called because of a situation we talked about earlier. He was expected to have significant dental work. His status moving forward in the series is unknown. Now to the NFL, the Browns and the Giants reportedly fielding trade calls. They have the number 2 and the number 3 overall pick. We talked to Jay Paterno, son of the legendary Joe, author, former coach, and college football analyst on Abdul Carter, who certainly could figure into that top 3, Tyler Warren, and more. In the 2 o'clock hour, check out the podcast for that interview at theteam980.com. Meanwhile, Jerry Jones says the Cowboys are working on what he termed substantive traits. Kirk Cousins showing up at an Atlanta Falcons offseason program workout. So that's interesting considering his status. The Steelers say Aaron Rodgers will not affect their draft strategy as he continues to take his time making his decisions. Back to the NHL, the New York Islanders are not bringing back president and general manager Lou Lamoriello, who built 3 Stanley Cup championship teams with the New Jersey Devils and then hired Barry Trotz when Trotz left here in Washington. And that's what's trending. All right, so that takes care of business on our end from what we had to do. And I forgot to mention one other thing. The Orioles and the Nationals begin a 3-game set tonight. Talk to Toby Altizer in the middle of the 2 o'clock hour for that. And then we just heard from Lance Newmark and Adam Peters. And again, like, everybody goes into those press conferences hoping, thinking they're going to get some sort of nugget. Sometimes they reveal a little bit too much. But oftentimes, and it's not just here in Washington, oftentimes you don't get a whole lot. Now, the Titans did confirm, for whatever it's worth, which was an Ian Rappaport report, if that makes sense, I think, earlier today, that they are staying at number 1. Again, I think that was expected by everybody. Not a surprise. I hope Cam Ward works out for them. I like Cam Ward. I was not like, oh man, this guy's a dog in late game situations. And there were times where it took the Miami offense a long time to get oil running through the engine. I think Cam Ward's a little more inconsistent than people are making him out to be. I think he's a better athlete, a better quarterback, a better thrower, a better everything than Shedeur Sanders. He might not be as steely tough as Shedeur Sanders, but I think he's clearly the better prospect. The problem is again, and maybe I'm just being too rough on him, I don't know. There were too many games for me where Miami was asleep at the wheel for the first quarter, maybe more. I remember specifically the Cal game on a Saturday night, but there were a couple other games. And then there were games like the Georgia Tech game where, at the end, big turnover. And, again, that's going to happen to everybody. Well, except for Jaden you get the point. But if you're struggling with that in college football, in the ACC primarily, I wonder how much that rears its ugly head in the NFL. Again, nobody's saying that he's not going to be good. The question is, can he be great? I think Shedeur Sanders, the question is he going to be fine or is he going to be good? I think there's a difference between being good as a base and great as a ceiling as opposed to fine, which is what I think Shedeur Sanders will be, as opposed to good, which is probably the max that he can be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how he'll actually do without being on daddy's team. You know, I mean, I remember playing sports as a kid, and there's always that kid that got the preferential treatment because their dad was the coach and, you know, all that stuff. And that didn't mean the kid was bad. A lot of times they were one of the better players on the team because their dad was probably trying to live their dreams through them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just it'll be interesting to see, you know, his dad's not going to be the head coach anymore. And if he has a problem, he's not going to get preferential treatment anymore. And just be interesting to see how he fits into the NFL that way, wherever he ends up.
Well, people say he could wind up as early as number three to the Giants. I think.
Yeah. We were just talking about that earlier.
I've heard, I guess, through the reported grapevine that the Saints are not that enamored with him. I think he could wind up with the Giants, but I just don't see it at three. I see it in a trade back, and I can't get past that. Now, some people say, hey, man, listen, if you have him graded as the 12th best player in the draft, but you have the number three overall pick, and then you don't pick again until the second pick of the second round, and you pretty much think that he's not going to be there, then, okay, expand your horizons and pick him because it's that important of a position. And what's a couple of slots on your grading scale? There are a lot of people that feel like that. Clearly, the story of the draft. And we probably, by pick 10, will have an answer. Not definite, but probably. And certainly by Pittsburgh, you would think we would have an answer. I think Pittsburgh's a much more ideal place for him to go than the Giants, because the Giants right now, at least on paper, have Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, and Tommy Cutlets. The Steelers right now, they don't have Aaron Rodgers, as we just mentioned. They have Mason Rudolph. They let go of Russell Wilson. They let go of Justin Fields. They bring back Mason Rudolph. To my knowledge, they don't have anybody else, but I could be missing somebody. I mean, ultimately, I think we find out before pick 10. But can I say that we're not going, can I say that with any level of assurance? No. Just like I can't say with any level of assurance that I have a really good feel for what Adam Peters and Lance Newmark are going to do. I mean, you just heard a bunch of gobbledygook, a bunch of mishmash. And no offense to them, right? They're like, well, you know, we got to get people that fit all this stuff. And the reporters try. But literally, there's a number of different ways they can go. They can go running back. They can go wide receiver. They can go offensive line. They can go edge. They can go defensive tackle. They can go corner. I mean, you want to make an argument that they can go linebacker, and they can go linebacker. So there's four or five different positions that they can go at. And what we don't know, again, is how those first 28 picks will affect that decision. Because it will. You heard, and this is what they do. This is not anything abnormal. They call around or the phone rings. They have conversations, right? I saw a bunch of NHL scouts just shooting the you-know-what last night at dinner at Capital One Arena, right? I don't know exactly what trade secrets they share, but they're all talking about philosophy, kids, prospects, whatever teams they've seen, whatever. People trade information. It's just like radio people. Oh, hey, this is how I do it. This is, you know, you may want to try this or, you know, whatever. So they're getting a feel for who might want to move up. Cleveland might say, the Giants maybe say, the Saints, we talked about this scenario yesterday. They might say, hey, what would it take to move up from 40 to 29? Oh, okay. Well, all right. I think that's a pretty good deal. Let's see if our guy is there. And, you know, if you're good with this and I'm good with this, then we'll do it. And if our guy is there, then we'll do it. So that's how that kind of works, right? They're doing a lot of that legwork now so that when you're on the clock and you have 10 minutes, nobody is super duper ooper panicking. But again, you have to have somebody willing to trade up, which I think there will be teams willing to trade up. The question is willing to trade up to who? As we said yesterday, if you're looking for a quarterback, there is a bunch of teams at the end of the first round, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, and Washington, that do not need quarterbacks. So those are ideal spots. But it doesn't mean that they're going to choose Washington over Buffalo or wherever. It just depends on who's there. If somehow, some way, all of those guys are gone, right? If somehow, some way, say, I don't know, Shedeur Sanders is gone. Say, of course, Cam Ward is gone. Say, Tyler Shuck is gone, which would be a little bit of a surprise to, I think, most people. Jalen Milroe is gone. Well, that's going to hurt the trade market. But that's also going to help, then, you would think, the Commanders have more options at the other positions. And maybe they don't have that option to trade down as easily. But again, the notion that teams wouldn't trade up out of the early part of the second round or even the mid part of the second round for a player that they just love, who's there at 29, who maybe they have a top 15 grade on, and maybe they grab somebody else earlier in the round, and they said, you know, it's worth it for us to trade a third round pick to move up 13, 14, 15 spots. Maybe it's more than a third round pick. Maybe it's 2 third round picks, or it's a third and a sixth, or whatever. We're willing to do that. It doesn't have to be a quarterback. That's why you have all of these preliminary conversations, so that you can say, okay, who called us? What were they offering? What do we think they're thinking? And you chart it. That's what they're doing over the next 2 days. More than probably adjusting their board. They're probably only adjusting their board if they get new information. And as far as the question we asked earlier in the show, as far as a running back or a trade down, I think I'm going to answer all of these questions the same way. My number one preference is to trade down. I think that's their number one preference. I think that's everyone's number one preference. Again, doesn't mean you're going to be able to. You have to have somebody there and a team willing to do it. So, if they're stuck making that pick, of course it will depend on who's there. But you should not, in my opinion, rule out going running back or wide receiver. You should not just close the lid on that and say, well, it's just edge that they should take. Because A, again, you may not get the trade that you want. B, they probably view it differently than you view it. And remember, it's such a deep edge class that they may look and say, yeah, we have five guys that we like, not the burger chain. We think we can move back and grab one of these guys, maybe even at 61. Or if we make a small trade and we pick up an asset, maybe we can move back up from 61 or whatever. Or we can stay at 29 and we can take a hell of a running back. I would prefer running back more than wide receiver. That's me. I do think Amarian Hampton is in the mix. I do think he's more of what I'm looking for. A combination back with thickness, slashing ability, explosiveness, tough to tackle around the legs, tree trunks. Maybe not tree trunks, but you get my point. I don't know if he's the most naturally instinctive running back. I know Dr. Sabat compares him to LaDainian Tomlinson. I don't see that. But with more snaps, more practice, more reps, Anthony Lynn coaching you up, Cliff Kingsbury, I think Omarion Hampton can be a pretty darn good NFL running back. I like him more than Scadabo. I like him more than, I mean, Trevion Henderson is the home run hitter that ideally they're looking for. The question is he big enough? One, two, is he all around capable enough? And yes, you can mix, as Jay Paterno said, you can mix him with a physical running back. Brian Robinson, Chris Rodriguez, what have you, somebody else. But I need that production this year. I need that production this year. And ideally, I need it in the form of somebody who can push aside Brian Robinson. Somebody who can push aside, not that he needs much help, Chris Rodriguez. I need someone that can push and elevate into the number one role. I don't need someone that is just going to be a part-time, spare-time player because I have that in Austin Eckler. I need that skill set because eventually Austin Eckler is going to leave a year from now. So is Brian Robinson, in all likelihood. So is Jeremy McNichols. They're all free agents. But I need right now somebody that can do both well, and especially, like, as the season goes along, elevate to be the number one guy. Because what happened in the second half of last year is not good. Not good enough. All right, that's the show content for today. When we return, we'll wrap it up. Dumb Dumb of the Day, straight ahead. Stay with us.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, we wrap it up here on a Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow at 1, trust me. As long as we make it back and forth, we'll be back tomorrow at 1. Chris, you're not here tomorrow, or you are here tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I am working in the Grant and Danny
remotes. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'll be
that's
running
right.
sound for them out of the
that's right.
City Tap House Pin Quarter.
There you go. Well, must be nice to be able to travel around and have fun and enjoy being out amongst the people. Anyway.
They're like any job, there are pros and cons. Uh-huh. So,
Do you get treated well, though, for the most part?
They're really cool to us there. That place is real nice to us.
That's a good place. I went there a couple of times during the Army-Navy week because we were staying at the hotel right next door. So
yeah, it's right by the convention center. Yep. And I'll tell you, some of the best food of any of the remotes I've done.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Love that place.
I did enjoy it myself. All right. It is time. It is time. You know what time it is. A 24-year-old American YouTuber. Just let that sentence set in and automatically you know where we're at. If your title is, or you're referred to as a 24-year-old American YouTuber, you know what kind of trouble we're in as a society and what we're dealing with. He was arrested after visiting an off-limits island. Where? In the Indian Ocean, according to the AP, with hopes of establishing contact with a reclusive tribe, and is now in custody in New Delhi. The man from Scottsdale, Arizona, was arrested on March 31st, 2 days after he set foot on the restricted territory in a bid to meet people from the reclusive Sentinelese tribe. How did he try to get a hold of them? How did he try and figure out? Well, he left a can of Diet Coke and a coconut as an offering for the tribe after he failed to contact them. Then he shot a video of the island on his camera and collected sand samples before returning to his boat. And that's how he was arrested. Because they figured out where he was. He's suspected of violating Indian laws that carry a possible sentence of up to 5 years in prison and a fine. Visitors are banned from traveling within 3 miles of this island. The population has been isolated from the rest of the world for thousands of years.
Was
the people
guy,
who
I hear like missionaries do this sometimes. Was this guy a missionary or something?
He's a YouTuber.
He's a YouTuber, yeah.
Yeah. The inhabitants that live on the island use spears and bows and arrows to hunt animals that roam this small, heavily forested island. And they attack anyone who lands on their beaches. Again, this is dumb. Being a 24-year-old American YouTuber is also dumb. Leaving a can of Diet Coke and a coconut is also dumb. But what else do you expect? All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Craig Hoffman up next. Thanks to Metal Chris. Thanks to Jay Paterno. If you missed that conversation, hit it up at the Team 980 or on the Odyssey app, as you can do each and every hour, each and every segment, each and every day. We're always live and free there. Craig's next. See you tomorrow at 1. Adios on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.